All right. The message title is going to be a little bit different. The thought process is going to be a little bit different. If you'll take your Bible and turn over to 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, verse number 6, and we'll read from verse 6 to verse number 7. The title for this message is, Are We a Good Spiritual Stud, or What a Good Spiritual Stud Is? Are we a good stud? That's the title for this message, you know. As you can tell, I'm a good stud. Boy, you know, watch out. No, but how many of y'all have had anything to do with construction? Raise your hand. How many of y'all have had anything to do with construction? All right, okay, all right. Do y'all know what a stud is? What is a stud? A stud goes and builds a portion of wall, right? A stud is a board, usually a 2x4, in a wall. A stud builds a wall. They have different types of studs. You have the base plate and you have the top plate. The base is usually treated because it usually goes against either iron or concrete. The top is usually treated because it either goes against, or sometimes is treated, depending on what it goes against. And not usually, but every now and then, the studs in between are treated. Depends on what they go against. If it's going directly against brick, or if it goes against iron, or whatever. The thought process came about a little bit different. It was just something that I got to thinking about. The Lord talks about how He's going to build the church and how we are members of the body, how we're members of the church. We are the church, not the building, not the walls, not the studs. We're the church. The thought came about, are we a good stud? And the message isn't very long. I had something already typed out. Like usual, God has a good way of changing my plans, because clearly our plans don't line up. Mine must just really be bad. But I had everything all typed out, you know, and in order, and saved and filed on my computer, and that amazing piece of technology. And just in order and ready to roll, you know, zero hassle. And then most of the day, the Lord was kind of like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I'm like, Lord, but I already had it ready to go. But anyways, here we are. Are we a good spiritual stud? 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, verse number 6 through verse number 7. We look at the different kinds of studs, how to pick a stud. The ways we look at are pick a stud. A, is the stud straight or bowed? B, is the stud rotten? When you open a wall up and you look at the base plate, if there's been a leaky pipe, or if the base plate isn't treated, or if water's gotten in over the years, it'll be rotten. How many of y'all have seen inside a new construction home before it gets what they call, before it gets either blacked in or before it gets sheetrocked in? How many of y'all have seen a bare home? How many of y'all have seen the mastercraft of the framers leaving? The house is framed and it's perfect and it's blacked in and everything is good. And then comes along the plumber. The plumber gets in there and drills a huge old hole. He'll turn a 2x6 into nothing. I mean, you got a big old 2x6, you know, and it's on a load-bearing wall. And, you know, the plumber's going to go in there and he's going to chew the 2x6 down to nothing. It'll be about that wide where he passes the pipe through. Or the electrician will go in there and he'll drill a hole through all the studs. And then something will happen, the wire will be in the wrong place. He'll pull the wire out and run the wire around. The switch will be in the wrong place, and he'll drill through another row of studs. It's just the way it goes. Do studs have holes in them or no holes? Are they good studs or bad studs? A straight stud was Paul. Paul, no matter what was thrown at him, fought a good fight and ran a good race. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4 says, and starting in verse number 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we can come together, Lord, that we can prayerfully get something from your word, that we can pray together, that we still enjoy the freedoms that we have. Lord, please help me to deliver what you have for me to deliver. And I thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And my thought process is much different from a lot of people. It's really odd the way that I think. It's You know, I squirrel quite often. It's a joke between me and Brother Decker and his family. I chase a lot of squirrels. And they usually don't get hit or shot or ran down or in a trap. They just keep running. But I even had somebody tell me I was crazy. And I said 4 out of 5 voices in my head say, "You're crazy." But how to pick a stud? Are we a straight stud or are we a bowed stud? Are we going to stay the course or are we going to deviate and run off the course? Little things are put in our lives to test us. With me, it seems to be technology and especially Windows. Seems to be my Achilles heel. Some people, it seems to be motors. Go out to the barn, the chainsaw won't start. You know, so-and-so's chainsaw, oh, it sat up for 6 months and the first crank, it started right up. And yours, you put Stabil and put an NGK spark plug and clean the air filter and maintain it. You go out there and the next week and it won't start. Or you go and put gas. And you know, I'm sure it's happened to you. You go and put gas, you go to put diesel, and you go to the diesel pump and the little clicker's broke on the bottom. And that just ruins the whole day. I mean, that'll just ruin the automatic set. Is broke on the pump, that'll ruin the whole day. That'll put you in a bad mood. And when you start with a bad mood, you usually finish in a bad mood. Are we going to keep the faith? Are we going to be like Paul and run the race? Are we going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I was talking to Brother Walt, and Brother Walt, when you were younger, you said that the pastor, what was the pastor's name that had told you that story that that said, you're doing good now, but if you don't finish well, are we going to finish well? You look at so many people that start off strong, and you look and they aspire to be something great. They aspire to be the best that God would have them to be. You look at how many young people start out right and they're doing good and it's going and it's great and they're reading their Bible and they're praying and they're growing by leaps and bounds. And like Brother Decker had talked about, growing pains. They grow and grow and they're doing good and it's exciting, and then something happens and they get a little discouraged, but they keep going. And then something happens again, and then something happens again, and then they deviate. I was talking with Miss Page about the Wilds. It's an awesome place. And we were talking about, you know, going to camp and things. We were talking about how, you know, when you go to a good revival or you go to a good camp meeting or you go to a good camp and you get spiritually fed, and it's just like, you know, it's like Bible boot camp, just drilling it in, you're drilling it in, you know, just getting it in there, drilling it in you, and you just every day around God's people and in God's Word, and it's just feeding you and feeding you and feeding you, and you get out, you know, and the week's over with, and you're like, man, I could charge hell with a squirt gun. And then somebody comes along and pours a big old bucket of water on your fire, and your Christian life becomes bland again till the next revival or till the next camp meeting or till the next big hoopla. Or maybe your spiritual toe gets stubbed and then you want to stop walking altogether. The straight stud, an example of a straight stud was Paul. An example of a bowed stud is Lot. Lot started out fine. Lot didn't necessarily do anything wrong. Lot got involved with the world, with the pleasures of the world. And don't expect this to be a theologically deep message or anything. This is really just food for thought. Lot had the opportunity to do what was right, to maintain what was right, to keep the faith, so to speak, to run the race, to press toward the mark. He started right and then slowly started to backslide and slowly started to spiral out of control. Backsliding is a long, dark, slippery slope. And you hear it talked about. But even to the thing of if you're not closer to Christ now than you ever were, you're backslidden. Do you realize how many times in a day you're backslidden? If you really sat down and thought how no good you really are. Moses, he did have a problem with anger, but Moses, I believe, was a fairly godly man. I believe he was a lot more godly than a lot of us today. I'd venture to say than most everybody today. And he wouldn't have even gotten to survive seeing the best of God. All he got to see was the hinder parts. And his face shone. And he had to be covered. It's really interesting. 2 Peter 2, verse number 6 through verse number 10. You don't have to turn there. If you don't want to, you can. 2 Peter 2, verse number 6 through verse number 10. It talks about Lot. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. 7. And deliver just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. 8. For the righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reverse the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness, and despise the government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak of evil dignities. Lot's righteous soul was vexed. He started right. I believe that he was in touch with God. I believe that he was in tune with God. I believe that he started out wanting what was right. And the things of the world got in the way. Money, pleasure, the pride of life, the luxuries of life. Rotten studs. What is an example of a rotten stud? In the Bible, Achan, I believe, is an example of a rotten stud. Achan. Joshua chapter number 7, 19 through 21. 19 says, And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Verse number 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Achan blended in just fine up until God removed the cover, up until God pulled the sheetrock off the wall and revealed the rotten stud. Achan blended in just fine until God removed the sheetrock off the wall. It's just a food for thought, excuse me, as I get a drink of water. Pardon my reading, I can't see that well. I'm waiting on my glasses to come in. It just makes you think, it makes you question yourself. Am I a rotten stud? What are things about me that I don't want anybody else to see? What is the ugly truth about me? what's the sheetrock that could so easily be pulled off of my facade? I get kind of an I don't care attitude sometimes, and it's really bad. It really is. But I try and be the same in front of everybody. I'm a goofball. I love to have fun. I love to crack jokes and laugh and enjoy life. Life is too short to be a stick in the mud. Now, I do have a problem with anger and pride. I'll openly admit that. I think anybody that knows me halfway decent or at least says hi can just automatically see that. I enjoy life. I like to have fun and laugh and be a goofball. And I wear funny socks and goofy bow ties and mismatch just because it's fun. The Lord never said, "Thou shalt be the most best dressed to reach others for me." The Lord said all things just and in order. And that applies to several things, I believe. But am I a rotten stud? Am I really who I say I am? Or am I like Achan, blending in just enough to get by, to see if I can get by with still straddling the fence, having the things of the world, and trying to live the Christian life? And I'm sorry this is not very well put together, but I believe this is what God had for me to give. I had something a little bit more organized than this. But why is it worth faking over? What's worth cheating yourself over the best that God has for you? Is it a wedge of gold and 200 shekels of silver? Really? You know, for that, him and his family was killed. For that. That. Just for that of a rotten stud. A house that doesn't get treated for termites, if it has termites in it. It can be a $380,000 house, a $410,000 house, a beautiful home. Beautiful. You pull up and you're just like, man, this is nice. They've got the wide front door and just beautiful brick home. And inside the brick home, behind the sheetrock, it could have a crack in the pipe, faulty electrical, thin sheetrock that the tape's going to peel off in 4 or 5 years, rotten studs that the termites have eaten, and you'd never know it. Just from looking at it, you'd never know it until you pulled the sheetrock back. There's going to come a time in your life where you're going to face something where the rubber's really going to meet the road and God's going to pull the sheetrock back. And the rotten stud will be revealed. You may not necessarily be able to tell which one's a bad egg by going to get the eggs out of the chicken coop. But when you crack it open, you can tell. It's awful. An example of a treated stud. A good stud that's not rotten, that's been protected. Oliver B. Green. John R. Rice. And again, the Apostle Paul. Because each time the rubber met the road, the Apostle Paul was real and ready. Even our own brother Walton, Miss Jackie Schmidt. I mean, I don't believe that they would be here today if they weren't good studs. You know, Brother Walt, like I said, muscles, man, watch out. But I really don't believe that they would be here today, and I don't believe that we would be where we are today had we not have had good studs. That when the rubber met the road, they stood the test of time. George Whitfield. Adoniram Judson, heroes of the faith. And even in your personal life, I mean, if you had a mom and dad or grandpa and grandma that you knew were real, that you watched them pray, that you watched them seek God's face, not just, oh, seek God's face, but genuinely, earnestly pray an effectual, fervent prayer to seek the best that God had. To be good when nobody else was looking, to be a treated stud, to be kept. I was making a joke with Brother Walt and Miss Jackie. We were talking about the hearts up there. And doesn't that look nice? I like the red with the silver and white, I think it blends nice. I like the hearts up there. We were talking about keeping your heart with all diligence, proud of it, are the issues of life. Well, what seasons a Christian? Time in the Word of God. Reading your Bible. Brother Gerald preached about applying the Word. He preached about laying down the staff, laying down the heritage, laying down the pride. Because Moses had pride. Moses had that Egyptian pride because that's what he was raised around. He was raised in Pharaoh's house around the best. An example of a stud with holes is Samson. There was holes in Samson's life. And this is just, again, it's just really simple. Judges 16:15-17. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times. This is talking about when he had lied to Delilah about where his strength lie. And hast not told me wherein thy great strength lie. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. Excuse me. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. That was his hole. That was his weakness in the stud. That was where the stud was susceptible to crack or to damage. When you cut a tree down, you know, how many of y'all have cut a tree or watched somebody cut a tree or anything like that? Raise your hand. Yeah, I've cut a tree. When you go to cut a tree, you cut most of the way through, and the weight of the tree, when you get about halfway through the tree or three-quarters of the way through the tree, if the tree's leaning to one side, it'll break over. It's the weak part of the tree. When you drill a hole in a board, if you drill a nice, substantial hole in the board becomes weak in that area. If you drill multiple holes in the board, in the 2x4, in the stud, it becomes really weak. The stud doesn't have to be bowed. It doesn't have to be rotten and faking it. There's genuinely good people that are good people, that are good Christians, that damage their effectiveness for Christ because of holes that are in their studs, because of holes that are in them, because of holes that are in their Christian walk. Oh, well, what does this little bit of worldly music matter? It doesn't matter. What does this little word that I say matter? Oh, it doesn't matter. Who is this going to offend if I say it? Why does this matter? Little things. It could be big things. Oh, well, why does it matter? I mean, the Walmart parking lot is full. I mean, I can park in the bar parking lot across the street. Nobody's going to know. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Another one is David. David, a man after God's own heart, had holes. He was a stud that had holes. 2 Samuel 12, it talks about his sin with Bathsheba. Even though the Bible a little bit later does say that David was a man after God's own heart, I would encourage you to read 1 and 2 Samuel and just look into it, or even read into David. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, had weaknesses. Moses broke the first copy of the Ten Commandments. Man, he could have sold that on eBay, and he broke it over anger. Anger. Simple things that can damage the stud, that can put a hole in it. But you know who gives an example of a perfect stud? No holes. Christ. Christ. Spat upon, mocked, laughed at, made fun of, mocked, threatened, didn't get angry, wasn't guilty of any crime, nothing, not one thing. Didn't damage the integrity of the name of his Father. Didn't damage the integrity of his cause. Didn't contradict himself. No word he said was misspoken. Every word was fitly spoken, perfect, poignant, in order. He kept every promise he made, and the only thing he was guilty of is loving me. That's it. That's the only thing he was ever guilty of. Was being sinless, loving me, and dying for me. Are we a good stud? Are we usable? Are we fit to build the body of Christ? Are we fit to build the church? That's all I've got. That's it. Bow your head. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, Lord.